Romans chapter 5. Well, Billy, I worked my sugar up on Sunday because I had pie and cake at the house for dinner. And then I went over to the Becker building with the bikers, and boy, that biker cake was good, wasn't it? That's a tremendous. It's going to last one for me for a long time, I think. It got that great frosting on top, wasn't it? You often wonder, why do you do those things like the biker thing and stuff? Why do you do the nursing homes? Why do you do those different things? Bus routes and the kids that we do there. Bobby and Sonia do it, the special needs children. Why do you do all that, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus loves all people. And as many as we can reach for Christ, we should. And any church that doesn't care about others, they don't have the heart of God, because God's heart is for others. He saved them, others. He saved others, but himself he could not save. He couldn't save himself because he had to save others. And I'm glad this church cares about others. Don't ever stop caring about others. That's why Jesus died for others, you and I. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 6 through 10. I'm going to show you a little truth that God gave me years ago. Years ago, I even preached a message on this called But God. Not be preaching it tonight, but I did preach a message, But God, on Romans 5:8. And then Deborah actually wrote a tremendous song, But God, and Debbie Black. And so, but let's look at Romans 5:6. I'm going to read all the way to verse 10. How many have got Romans 5 with me? Okay. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Look at verse 8. Oh, I love verse 8. But God. You know, it's always but God, isn't it, Brother Noah? But God commend his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved with from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great word of a precious truth that you're giving us from Romans chapter 5. And Lord, in these short minutes I have, Holy Spirit, fill me and help me to be a blessing to everyone here. And we'll just pray that your name will be lifted up and glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Note with me. Let's look at four things about what we were before we got saved. Four things before we got saved. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Four things we were without before we got saved. Number one, in verse 6, if you take an outline, you'll like this. We were without strength, number one. Number two, in verse 6, we were ungodly. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, verse 6, number 1, what were we? Without strength. Number 2, and number 3, verse 8, we were sinners. Let me see that. So what's the first three you got? You're ungodly, you're without strength, you're ungodly, and you're sinners, right? Look at verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Being much more reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the fourth thing we were, verse 10, is we were enemies. So we were without strength. We're ungodly. Sinners, verse 8. Enemies of God, verse 10. Four, how many see that? Four things you were before you got saved. Now look at verse 7, because verse 8 is always magnified. Verse 8 would not be magnified as much as if you didn't know verse 7. Verse 7 is a phenomenal verse. I think it's an outstanding verse, Brother Billy. And most people don't even catch verse 7. Before they read verse 8, they don't really watch verse 7. And verse 7 makes verse 8 so important. So look at verse 7 with me. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Even if you could find a righteous person, I still don't think you could find, he would die for you. See, we're trying to find a substitute for us. We're trying to find a sacrifice for our sins. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. By the way, even if you could find him, he wouldn't. But we don't. There isn't a righteous person. The scripture says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. So if you're looking for a righteous person to die for you, could you find one? Right, you couldn't find one. That's right. Continue with that verse. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet pre-adventure. Holy, in other words, holy mako, Andy. Yet pre-adventure, that's kind of a Greek word for that, okay? Wow. Yet, I'm kidding, you know I'm kidding, I hope you do. Yet pre-adventure for a good man, someone even dare to die. Listen, either you can find me a righteous man beyond, with no, I don't think I could find anyone to die, but just for a plain good guy, zonk, forget it. No one would even think about dying for just a good guy. A good person. But can I read you a couple scriptures? Romans 3:12 says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Whew. Wow. So we read these verses, my brother, and we find out there's no one good, there's no one righteous. Now, I want you to get this before you go to verse 8, and then I'm done. So, I want you to think about men. There's not a righteous man on the earth. There's not a good man upon the earth. So, that means there's not no one that could die for you. Look at me. The whole world stands hopelessly. All men sinners, all men guilty, all men they're not righteous, all men no good men. The whole earth hopelessly stands before God. It says in Romans 3:19 says, the whole world guilty before God. So you got the whole world standing before God, guilty, hopelessly guilty before God, doomed without hope, without a sacrifice for their sin. That means, look up here, every one of us stood before God on the edge of eternity without hope. We're doomed forever for hell. I mean, the whole human race, from Adam all the way down through all the generations, they stood before God hopeless, doomed, forever to go to hell, forever and ever and ever, and nothing to help them but God. Then you get to verse 8. See, you're in verse 7. Boy, in this book of Romans, great. In verse 7, you see yourself helplessly doomed. No hope at all. No help. And then verse 8 comes down, brother. Brother Billy, it comes down. Brother Noah, Romans verse 8 comes out of heaven. Oh, I can just see it. The whole world standing guilty, doomed before God. But then God sends his love down. And Romans 5:8 says, but God. How many see that in Romans 5:8? But God, when you were without strength. But God, when you were ungodly. But God, when you were sinners. But God, when you were enemies of him. But God, when no one would. But God, when no one could. But God committed his love towards us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. You talk about a person to the rescue. Jesus. Our Savior, we are standing on the brink of eternal death and separation. And Jesus, the heaven opens up. The glories of heaven open up and they send down Romans 5:8. But God, when there was no hope. But God, when no one would. But God, when no one could. But God, even though you were ungodly. But God, even though you were a sinner. But God, even though you're an enemy. But God, when all the world failed and could not stand up. But God, look at that verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can anyone say hallelujah? Can anyone say amen? It's just like when you see those pictures and that guy's hanging on that cliff. Or he's on the edge of a big building and he's getting ready to drop and someone reaches out and snatch him. Brother Chuck, that's what Jesus did for you and I. We were without hope and doomed forever. And when no one would and when no one could, God reached out from heaven and said, I'll save you. I'll send the sacrifice. And then Jesus came. And then he was born for you and I. Can anyone say amen? Look at Galatians 4:4. I have to close in a minute. How many are glad Jesus died for us? See, look up before you. In verse 7 of Romans, I know I told you Galatians 4:4, and that's, go ahead. But in that verse 7, when you come out of verse 7, you got to get this. You have no hope. You're doomed. The whole world's guilty without any hope in verse 7. And that's why verse 8 is so magnified, because when there was no hope, God came down. How many see that? Look at Galatians 4:4. Ephesians, let's see, Galatians right in front of Ephesians. But when the fullness of time was come, and I'm watching the clock, I got about 5 more minutes. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Why did Jesus come? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. I don't keep the law. All in Christ, all the law is fulfilled. People are trying to keep the law. You're crazy. The law was fulfilled in Christ. How many are still with me? And so, but God loved us so much. He sent a son in the fullness. God knew the exact time he was going to send his son. It was news to us, to the world. But before, did you know before Adam and Eve was ever created, God knew that he would send his son? And did you know God knew exactly when, the exact time his son's going to come? Well, we got a pretty good God, don't we? He never fails. The scripture says there, I think it's in James, I didn't have this, there's no shadow of turning. There's no darkness in God. He knows everything. He's the light of the world. He is the light. Amen? And so, today, when you read those scriptures, and to redeem that which we're under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, I'm glad I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And the reason I'm a child of God was because Christ loved me so much and came from heaven and died for me. And by the way, I couldn't have died for myself. And I couldn't have worked for myself. And I couldn't have did for anybody else. It took Christ. Well, it makes us, should make us want to love him more. Should make us want to serve him more. Should make us want to pray to him more. Amen? And should make us even, don't get mad at me, want us to give them more. And so let me encourage you today. Does anyone love you? Yes. God loves you. God loves you beyond measure. And he proved it by sending his only begotten son. How many have children here? Almost all of us have children. As much as I love you, I would never let my son die for you. I wouldn't let my daughter die for you. I wouldn't let my grandkids. I wouldn't let Rosie. She'd let me, but I wouldn't let her. But God loved us so much. He gave beyond giving. He gave his only begotten son. No wonder the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the next time you read Romans chapter 5, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, peradventure a good man. Remember, the next verse, 8, it's not just a regular verse. It's a verse that came out of heaven for a lost, condemned world that was doomed forever. But because of, someday I'm going to bring a message just on but gods. I know preachers have done, I've never done, but God. Well, aren't you glad there's a lot of but gods in the Bible? I'm glad there was a but God at Calvary. Because of but God, we're going to get to go to heaven. That's a great love, isn't it? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's that whole Romans 5 down through where you, that's a great truth, Billy. Now, it shows what Billy's saying when you read Father, it shows the two Adams. The first Adam, guy in the Garden of Eden that leads us out to sin, and then the last Adam, which was Jesus Christ. The first Adam, he gave us death and condemnation and sin and all kinds of junk. The last Adam, he gave us forgiveness, justification, life eternal. Can anyone say amen? And so, but God commend his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hope when you read that next time, you'll think a little bit about that verse. It's a tremendous verse. When the Lord gives me liberty to get into the book of Romans, I'll be teaching a lot of that stuff. And it might be later now, I don't know, we'll see. But I know I'm going to teach it, but I just don't know when. But the Lord will give me wisdom when I'm supposed to teach. I am going to teach that book of Romans, the first part of it. I got thinking what you said, Rod. I don't know how I can pull it off if I have to wait. I was thinking now more in September, just to do that first set introduction for September. And we'll see. We'll see what the Lord does. I don't want to start something and not get to finish it. But it's a great book. A tremendous book. I had one of the greatest teachers probably in the whole United States teach me that book of Romans. Of course, the greatest teacher of all the world is the Holy Spirit. So, all right, I'm glad you came. It's time for us to close. Brother Rod, why don't you stand and dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, when we had no hope, Lord, when we were doomed for an eternity in a lake of fire, God, you sent your Son to come to this earth, to die on a cross, shed your blood as the only remission for our sins.
Yes.
Lord, the sad thing is most of the world is not aware that their payment has been paid.
Yes. They're
not aware of a pardon.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you'd burden our hearts to share this with others.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray you'd bless the remainder of the week, guide and direct us. I pray that our lives would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.